What's up, everyone? It's Ray Garvin, host of the Destination Devi podcast. If you're waiting until after the NFL season to start your college scouting process, you're already behind the eight ball. There are hundreds of college football games on each and every Saturday, far too many to keep up with, along with following your favorite NFL teams. But don't worry, this show is designed for not only you hardcore Devi leaguers, but those of you who want to learn about the next group of potential NFL stars and get a leg up in your traditional dynasty leagues. We don't just talk about the big name college football guys. We hit on the small school value prospects who also have a shot to make it to the next level. If you want to position your dynasty team for short and long-term success, make sure you check out the DDP on DLF and all the other amazing shows DLF has to offer.
Yeah. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another TRADE. I'm an addict. And I need it in my veins, I'm an addict. Otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had to cheat before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
Hi, I'm Rumboys, RobbieRumboys.com, and I just have a fantasy football problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 164 of the Trade Addicts podcast, member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, the DAP network, if you will, and we will. And we are... Well, first, let me just say it is storming like crazy by me and Rocky. So there is a very good chance at some point throughout this show, it's just going to be Robbie going. And I'm going to be honest, it might be a little better off for
yeah,
for
we're here for that. I'm looking forward to
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Seriously, it's not really all that often I get to just listen to the show. So it's
I'm going to hope again. that does not happen.
All right. But first, we have to, I mean, we're not going to sing it, but let's just say... Happy birthday, Robbie.
Happy birthday. Big 3-0.
Yeah, dirty 30. It feels good. It feels good. I have no complaints at all about it. Aside from my body hurts. But, you know, aside from that, man, it feels good.
That's how it starts. So, you know, it's downhill from there.
Just wait till you hit 40.
Two older fellas giving you the heads up on that one.
Thanks.
Hey, yeah. We're just keep making sure you know the real story of what's going on. We're not sugarcoating anything. You know, you're going to sneeze and throw your back out for 3 days. And you'll hear me talking after a while. Once it hits like 10, 15, I'm going to forget words because I'm just tired. And it just that's how my brain goes. It's not going to be pretty. So that's what you have to look forward to.
Thanks.
Right here.
Thanks. I'm scared as shit.
Yep. All right, but before we get going, before we get into the show, before we further scare Robbie into just running away, Robbie, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
You guys can check us out, rumboys.com, Rumboys Fantasy Network on the YouTube. We're also on Twitch, Facebook. I stream on my Periscope, but like, I just really appreciate, you know, people view me on my YouTube channel. It benefits me, and that algorithm is just where I'm really building my following. 2,500 plus and steady climbing, 3K is the next milestone. So, you know, y'all just keep showing love and keep supporting. And also download the SportsMe app. Check me out on the SportsMe app. We got some big things coming. Brand new version of the app just dropped today. You know, fixing some video upload issues and just things of that nature. We're getting it all geared up for it to be the biggest platform for you guys to be able to come and provide, you know, fantasy football advice or betting advice, whatever it is that you're into. You can come over there, talk the content, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, you know, you name it. Just everybody's over there talking, you know, all types of sports. It's first take in the palm of your hand. you know.
Yeah, it's actually pretty awesome. We were on a mock draft show. What was it, like Premier Mocks or something like that? And Robbie dropped what it was, and I just like, okay, cool. I had downloaded it, and it's freaking awesome. I've absolutely just been a creeper so far. Like, I haven't posted anything, I haven't put a video up or anything, but you know, I sit there and I scroll just because. That's what I do. I'm terrified of putting myself out there, so I didn't do it yet. But you know, eventually I'll.
Says the guy who goes on every podcast in existence.
Yeah, but that's
which one? I Russ or myself? Shit,
both of you actually. But I was talking about Russ specifically then.
I know.
Yeah,
I
but
know.
My face isn't really on there. You know, that's like a video app of talking. So let me believe that I still have low self-esteem and I'm terrified of all this stuff, Rocky. Let me convince myself of that. But no, everybody, sports me, check it the hell out. It is very damn cool.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's get into let's get into the news for a second, because we're going to get into the news because it's such big news, and then we're going to go back and do the interview part with Robbie, because we had three people want to know about the ramifications of Jamison Crowder getting a contract extension, or I guess technically he took a cut, he restructured. That's what it was. Yeah. And I mean, Robbie, why don't you just say what you said before? Like, this is the best answer.
So yeah, we were talking before the show started. I mean, look, this doesn't affect the damn thing. This is still the goddamn Jets, okay? In the words of the little kid from Adam Sandler, Big Daddy movie, okay? It's still the Jets. You can't get rid of that Broadway Joe curse, that the ghost, you know, of well, we can't say ghost because he's still here, but you know, that rust is still around that building. Look, it's a 1-year deal, and then he's gonna be a free agent next year. You're gonna try and build up Mims, get him, you know, involved. You just brought in Corey Davis, you'll see how that works out. But I mean, realistically, none of these guys are like elite weapons. It's still the Jets. Why are we worrying about what happens with the Jets? No one's excited about this except for Jets fans. And like Rocky said backstage, not even Jets fans are that excited about it. So,
yeah, man. And I don't know if you've seen Joe Namath talk lately, but he's not still there.
I mean,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe that's the ghost that Sam Darnold was seeing was Joe Namath.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
It's all coming together now, guys.
Yeah.
I think turned this into ghost hunters.
Exactly. The fact that you got to live up to a quarterback from back in what, like the 60s, 70s, whatever. Like, come on, bro. Like that. That just cries poverty organization.
Yeah, it is not a well-run organization, but that's not really what we're here for. So, yes, clearly we both, all of us agree. If you had a feeling about Mims, if you had a feeling about Elijah Moore, if you still have to contractually love Corey Davis because you drafted him at the 101 far too many times like I did, you feel the same regardless of Crowder is there or not. So the Crowder does not change anything. So however you felt, still feel that way.
Yeah, If you end up with one of these guys on your fantasy team, right, any piece of this receiving core or anyone even, you know, from the backfield, whatever the case, right, and let's say just somehow, some way, a Jet pays off for you, okay? All right? Let's just say somehow a Jet pays off for you. Cool. You know, now at the same time, don't sit back and be that person, because there's always this person on Twitter in the industry that's like, I told you so. I told you guys. I told you. It's like, you did not. No one. This is the Jets. No one saw them making a leap or having a caliber player, a fantasy relevant player. Like, come on, stop. So I just want to heap a caution.
Yeah, I'm gonna. It's not going to be a victory lap whatsoever, because clearly I will never say I called Corey Davis pulling that fifth year breakout. But if he legitimately becomes a number one wide receiver for a team, I'm just going to run around screaming, it finally paid off. It finally paid off.
Of course,
I probably don't even have any of those shares that I drafted at 101. If I'm even in those leagues anymore, if those leagues still exist at this point, but it exists in here. It exists in here.
And he may be the Jets' number one receiver, but Robbie said it perfectly. Like, it doesn't matter.
It won't matter.
The Jets. I am one of the lowest people out there on Zach Wilson, so I don't have confidence in any of these guys anyway, whether there's a Crowder there or not. So, good luck with those Jets receivers.
There are fantasy players out there that lean a little bit too much on the fantasy side, okay? This is not you building your Madden roster where you can just elevate everyone to 99s. All right. These are real life. This is real life. Like, reality still is involved. I mean, so you got to think about, you know, still struggling organization, a lot of what ifs and question marks. If you're playing in a league that is with money on the line, or you're playing for like a charity, you know, even if you're playing for bragging rights, all right, if you're trying to avoid being that last place guy, be standing on a corner getting hazed, then take it from Robbie. Fade the team as a whole right now. And from a dynasty standpoint, Wilson is probably the main piece that you need to be rostering. Even still, you're not running out there like, yeah, I got Zach Wilson. I'm starting right away. No, you're not. Don't do that.
There's one drunk Jets fan doing that, I'm sure, somewhere. That. But yeah. All right. So let's, now that I had to get that out of the way, because we did get weirdly a lot of questions about that. Let's go back to the interview part. Robbie, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
Oh, gosh. Back when my very first personal experience, I used to help my dad set up like his like newspaper lineups and like, you know, all that stuff. You know, the fantasy or the USA Today ones. Mm-hmm. And then we got like we got the old school Max with like, you know, that had like the color backing, like they had like the blue backing drink. And like I used to get on SI Kids all the time. Like that was like, it was the very first time that like web based, you know, fantasy football came around. So I played, I won. That's when I learned about stacks and the importance of stacks. Shout out to Dante Culpepper and Randy Moss. I also had Priest Holmes as a running back. So I was just like running over people. Like it was just, yeah. And then, yeah, it was a great time. I fell in love with it and kept playing from there on. None of my friends in high school really knew that I was doing this. Like, you know, like even when I got into high school, like I was like going on like Yahoo lying about my age. No one knew. Like I thought, cause like back then fantasy was kind of like nerdy. It was like you're like, you playing like Dungeons and Dragons, like for like fantasy football. Like that's the way it was booked back then. You know, now, you know, you say you play fantasy football and it's like, we're $9 billion industry. I mean, granted, only 1% of creators are getting paid for that, but don't worry, we're trying to resurrect that. Download the SportsMe app. You know, with that being said and with that being stated, you know, I got into it, you know, just as a young kid when I was stationed overseas. It was hard to play fantasy because you're on a different time zone. And like back then, like internet wasn't great. Okay. Mm-hmm. We used to have the sound. It's like, hey, yeah, y'all remember. I just brought back nightmares of y'all just hearing that little sound.
Everyone heard it in their heads. Yeah. Everyone who lived through that heard it the second you did it.
I just brought back, they just heard flashbacks. Like you just like went through it and shit. Anyways, so I started then betting and playing in like office pools. And the office pools were a lot of fun. Once I kind of, I guess, got older, like I learned that like, oh, I could just make my own YouTube channel. And I was like, well, it's a little bit too late for me to go to school to try and do this. I have an entrepreneurial bone in my body, created my own company. And here we are basically almost 4 years later, you know? And yeah, people actually love the Rumbleboys and they're like, yo, like they're legit. Like, yeah, really? I like to think so. I tried.
Yes, I am. Thank you for noticing. How long have you been playing Dynasty for?
Dynasty about like last like 2 years.
Yeah, that's cool. Let's get into the fun stuff though. What are some of the best and worst trades you've made in Dynasty? Well, I guess it doesn't even have to be Dynasty. Give us some good and bad trades you've made in fantasy football.
Yeah, because Dynasty, I definitely play a lot more like win now. So I don't necessarily play, like make bad trades in Dynasty, but redraft. Redraft, I've had karma come back on me where it's like, yeah, I definitely got over on this person. Let's see. I traded for Saquon Barkley in a league. And Saquon ended up getting injured. I ended up doing a one-for-one, just a straight up 1-for-1 in one of my home leagues. Home leagues, you can get away with that type of stuff. You can't do that in analyst leagues. And I traded away Zeke for Saquon. Saquon went down, and like the rest of my season was just like from there. It was just nobody was
at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already the podcaster guy in a home league. People aren't going to trade with you anyways.
Not like Zeke was amazing after Saquon went down, though. So
no, Zeke wasn't that great ever. I'm trying to think of some other ones. I usually end up for the most part winning my trades. I don't really. I'm very conservative when it comes to trading. I'll say that. I'm very, very conservative when it comes to trading. I know you guys aren't. But
we make trades so that we can have them for the show.
Yes, that again happened this week. It's very good. It's a very true point,
dude. Hey, but see, I like that and I respect that. I like being in leagues with people that like doing crazy trades. Like my favorite one that I pulled off recently was, you know, as soon as Anthony Lynn was like, "Oh yeah, Jamal Williams, he's gonna be the guy," I was like, "Bet I got Jamal Williams on a roster." Oh, I also have OBJ, who I don't think is going to bounce back. And I also have Baker Mayfield, who I'm probably not going to use because, well, the draft picks I had, I ended up getting Justin Fields. I already had Andy Dalton. If one of them two are going to start, boom, I just run with one of them two. And I already have Dak, you know. So I was like, yo, I'll give you Baker and OBJ plus Jamal Williams. You're going to give me Cam Akers. I feel like I won that.
Yeah, I think value says you won that too. There you go. So you make good trades. You have to teach us what you're doing. I mean, I don't think I could have pulled that off.
I honestly like to look for with that one, we kept countering back and forth. And I just stuck to my guns with this is what I'm going to give you. And I just used the fact that you know, it was coach speak. I used what is being said out of camps and out of organizations, you know, and I really just try and focus on selling upside. And I also focus on need too. I mean, this guy, he had a desperate need for quarterback. Oh, and I also have Stafford too. I have Matt Stafford. And this is like an orphan team that I picked up, you know? So I was like, yeah, bro, like you're not going to get Matt Stafford because I like his situation with Cooper Kupp, Bobby Trees, you know, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Like I'll give you this, like, and I'm going to give you the stack with it, you know? Everyone knows me for my brand. I love sacking players. Why not me enable you and give you, and me just handicap myself, make it seem like I'm handicapping myself to you, when realistically, that's a stack that I'm never going to run.
You don't got to tell them that. That's fine.
Exactly.
All right. I always try and give the guest the choice and then we see where we go from there. What do you want to do first? Do you want to do Trade Addicts trades or listener questions?
Let's go through some trades, bro.
All right, here we go. Trade Addicts leagues are 12 team super flex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points per return yard, because man, just TA1 doesn't seem to want to trade right now. Actually, no one wants this. Like, today's such a freaking dead spot, like today recently, because this is the second week in a row we're like, yo guy, we have like two trades, can you help us out? And then, you know, shout out again to Ryan in TA9, who literally sends about 15 offers.
Dude,
and yes the TA leagues, at least 3, 5, and 9 definitely came to the rescue and gave us some trades today to talk about. Though at least, yeah, 3 were all me. Okay, well, let's just go. Let's go to TA3. Yeah, with me and you. All right, so let's just, this is a me and Rocky trade. So Robbie, you're going to have to start this one off. The trade was Mike Evans and a 23 first for Ezekiel Elliott. Okay, which side do you like?
And are we, okay, just so I just go what side I like.
No, this is pure value based. We're not giving you any context whatsoever.
Okay. I feel like Dallas is going to air it out so much more. Like, but I mean, Zeke is you're going to be thin at running back this year, and you just need RBs. Is he going to bounce back from last year? I don't know. I'm going to have to go with the Mike Evans side. Cowboys fans are like they're like, of course he would say that. But I gotta go with the Mike Evans side. I mean, this receiver is still gonna see some amazing looks. And then also, I mean, getting a 23 first. I would have preferred if it was a 22, but you know, getting a 23 first, you eventually get a first. So boom.
Well, it's nice having you on the show. We'll see you later. You picked Rocky's side, and I don't appreciate it.
Bro, it's just Robbie's a smart man.
Yes, he is. To be fair, I usually side with the wide receiver too. And this was, I mean, this went around in circles for absolutely zero reason and ended up at the original offer anyway, just because Rocky's upset he didn't get Hockenson when he had the chance.
Yes.
And my original offer was Evans and a 23 first for Zeke. And he ended up going, I was like, okay, what about, see, I don't even know why the hell I declined this. Cause he countered with Hockenson and the 23 first for Zeke. And I feel like Evans is right now is at least still worth more than Hockenson. Probably. Even though there's a couple of years and the tight end premium.
Yeah.
I was just like, no, I like having that young tight end. And we both think that Hock is just going to go nuts. So like, that's why I was just like, you know what? No, if he's getting Hock from me, he's going to have to freaking pay. So
yeah, we both publicly stated, we think Hock is basically going to be like, you know, Waller or Kittle this coming season. By the time the season's over. So I was trying to get Hock from him. He wouldn't do it. I actually did reject this and I was just like, screw it. I'll do the original trade. I was just trying to get Hock from you if I could. I didn't want you to think that I was okay with this. So I rejected it.
I think it's fair.
I just sent it back to him.
I think it's fair, but it definitely deserves maybe a 2022. I think you probably could have gotten away with the 2022 first.
Yeah, Russ if didn't I had 22 one. First.
Oh, you didn't have.
Okay, and I do keep hearing about how great that 23 class is supposed to be. So whatever. Yes. I was okay with it. And I'm probably not contending in this league, which probably means I don't really need Mike Evans either. But I just thought the value was pretty good. And I think I like having the first there. And I can probably sell Mike Evans in season as easily as I could have sold Zeke in season if I'm not contending, which I don't really expect to. So I'll take the plus and the plus to Mike Evans and be happy about it.
Yeah, I just keep telling myself that Zeke was like the RB2 with Dak in those first 4.5 games. And I just like, they're going to walk right back into that. Nothing's going to change. Right. So, and it was weird. Like I did the wrong thing. According to my own rules, I did the wrong thing. And I'm like, oh, the only running back I have is Mike Davis. Okay. I want to get rid of Evans. So like, I don't know why I've been trying to get rid of
Evans.
You're
not putting a lineup, Russ.
I know. Do as I say, not as I do. Please,
age. I mean, I've done that. I've made some trades before where it's like, you know, I wouldn't normally tell people to do, but you know, situations are situations. You know, you always gotta be water. You gotta be water.
You got to not trade when you're bored or just throw out offers because you need trades for a show. That's really what it comes down to.
And I do love Zeke this season. I don't think it's going to be enough for me. And there's always the chance too that maybe he is hitting a wall or that he tears his ACL in week two. I do think there's a chance I could have got. That was my only hesitation of doing it initially. I think I said with the Mixon trade we did a couple weeks ago, I'm worried I could have gotten more in season.
But
there's risk there too. So
you just move Mixon. You just move Mixon from team to team. Mixon does not stay rostered on anyone. He should not be. No. I don't know.
I have my just in case shares of Mixon, because there's a chance he goes nuts if that offense clicks. I don't necessarily fully believe it'll happen.
I'm in enough
leagues where I have just in case. Like I will have.
There are other combinations that I'm willing to roster. That I will avoid drafting Mixon. I'm not doing it to myself.
But I traded him Mixon, who he traded for Hock, and I still can't get over it.
Yeah, he's still pretty mad about it.
If you end up with Mixon on your roster,
better than what I got.
If you end up with Mixon on your roster, that is an immediate. As soon as you walk out the draft room, move. That's when especially now that we're live drafting with no more Corona and everything. You know, well, not I won't say no more, but you know, like. Decreased, banished, or whatever, you know. that's when you get done with the draft, you say, hey buddy, you know, I'll buy you a shot, I'll buy you a beer. You know, let's go talk. What's that? Step into my office. You know, that's how you do that.
Yeah, you see how late I got Mixon, right? That's good value. Like you kind of want that, don't you? Yeah, there you go. All right, I'm learning moves. I like this.
Yeah, take this 1942 and then tell me how you feel afterwards.
All right, let's move on to the next trade. The next trade, I don't remember how this. Oh, yeah, I went after Darnell Mooney. This was Darnell Mooney and Ramondre Stevenson for Damian Harris and Hayden Hurst. Now, I think this was another one of me trying to get rid of Mike Evans, where it was Mooney and someone else for Evans. And then Dustin was like, here, let me counter this, and then came back with this really weird trade. Mooney and Ramondre Stevenson for Damian Harris and Hayden Hurst. I literally, like, my reply was, I guess. Okay.
Who cares?
Sure. This is a fairly even trade here. I really think that side that has Hayden Hurst, though, when in 12 personnel situations, you are about to just see Hayden eat, you know. And I know Kyle Pitts troopers are like, no, he's going to have 190 targets all to himself. Stop it. No. Matt Ryan is getting older, okay? Therefore means these throwing mechanics aren't able to just keep going like that, all right? You think of it like a pitcher in baseball. You start to put him on a pitch count. Think of it like a pitcher on a pitch count, you know. I think that Hayden Hurst is gonna thrive. So I think that's a big piece, especially with you guys having the scoring the way that you do. You walked away with a sleeper, in all honesty.
Yeah, and honestly, like, that's how Dustin and I both feel about Mooney as well. We're both very big fans of Mooney, and it's like the Patriots running back swap was literally just like, whatever, all right, cool. Like, I know a lot of people are for some reason jumping on the Damian Harris bandwagon. I don't get it, whatever. I don't care about Ramondre Stevenson. It's just, okay, sure. And the thing is with Hurst, the offensive line in Atlanta is still bad, which means Hurst is going to be out there as a blocker, so he is going to be on the field a lot. And like, I agree with Robbie, like, he's going to get targets because of that. And honestly, I get that Ryan is getting older, but that defense is so bad that they're not going to have a choice, and they don't have a running back. Yes, Mike Davis's legs looked ridiculous in that picture, and he looked jacked as hell. But
he had a great season last season.
Yeah, he had a very good season. That's great. But you can't run your offense through Mike Davis. So yeah. The Falcons are still throwing the ball 600 something times, in which case Hurst is going to be able to get his. And with a 0.75 premium, like, Hurst for Mooney, I guess, works out. And one of us, or neither of us, or both of us, we're both going to end up shrugging at the end of the season. Like, okay, cool. Yeah, we did that. I don't remember that. Okay.
That's pretty much it. I've heard this about Hayden Hurst. Like, I think we talked about him last week for some reason or another. I guess I would, because of the Julio trade. Some
point. Yeah.
And I'm not seeing it. I mean, he didn't do anything last year where they did. You're right. The defense is bad, but I'm still not as sure they're going to throw as much as they used to. I keep hearing this narrative that the Falcons, you know, throw all the time, especially in regards to the Julio trade, and that Tennessee doesn't. And people ignore that the fact that the coach of the Falcons now was the Titans head coach, offensive coordinator. Yeah, So not that he's going to run Mike Davis like 380 times like he does does Derrick Henry, but I still don't think it might be as pass heavy as everybody thinks. And he was tight end, like, I think it was 12 or 14, whatever it was. Like, those tight ends don't matter to me at all, even in 1.75 premium. So the only piece that interests me in this entire deal is Mooney. So that's the side I like.
Woo. Okay. Okay, so that's it for TA3. We move on to Trade Addicts 5, where we have Miles Sanders in a 22 second for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Is that the right direction? Is the pick on the right side? Am I wrong? Like, I kind of like Miles Sanders more than I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Am I wrong? Or, like, if anything, that should be an even swap, right?
Yeah, like, I think if you added a second to either side, I would take it.
Right? I'm going with the Miles Sanders side, but here's why, okay? All right, a CH always has the ability, yes, to fall in the end zone, and you know, those are always, you know, positive points for you. This team does not need to run the ball whatsoever. Their offensive line is now back intact, okay? It has a lot of new pieces, a lot of pieces that know how to play, that are technicians. on the offensive line. They don't need to run the ball. They're not going to run. They'll run the ball in the playoffs. By the time the real NFL playoffs come around, you're not playing in the fantasy playoffs. So pick your poison here. I mean, CH could maybe start possibly getting some trade, and you're probably going to start getting some value out of them later on in the season. But the Chiefs are going to come out, and they're going to air that thing out for at least the first 6-7 games. And then maybe they'll start to change up their tempo because defenses become predictable. But even still, you have the cheetah.
Yep.
Yeah, by the way, Russ, I was just looking in the DLF ADP. CH RB 17, Miles Sanders RB 18.
Nice. All right.
They're pretty much RB. I mean, yeah, I kind of see them the same too. I mean, I still don't think CH is going to get a heavy workload. I'm not sure who's. I mean, I guess Terrell Williams is there. Jerick McKinnon is
using,
there.
Yeah, they were using Williams plenty last year.
But the Miles Sanders side got a 2022 second.
Right, and I would take the Miles Sanders side just because you're getting. I think they're real similar. I think Sanders, I think, might even have a bigger workload than CEH. But I mean, he's still got, he does have Gainwell there now to maybe steal some passing work. But yeah, I think he's more explosive than CEH for sure too. I mean, they're kind of the same guy. I guess Sanders is a year older, at least a year into the league older. Give me the one which, like I said, if it was CEH in a 22 second, I probably would have taken that side.
Sanders is a little bit more shiftier, and I like him better in open space. CH, I like him better in situations where he's got a bang between the tackles, and I picture him more so as a smaller Jerome Bettis.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go with like MJD or something because he's got that low down, the big hips, legs.
MJD, yeah, He's the type of back, like, he has to have contact in order to be effective. Like, that's the way he knows how to play the position. You know, whereas Miles Sanders is like, I'm going to be twinkle toes.
He's also the guy, though, I was just going to say, Sanders is also the guy, I think, that's more likely he's going to, like, take it to the house on a given play, even a passing play, more so than CEH. He's just, like I said, more explosive, will have that burst and get away from the defenders.
100%.
Let's get to this TA7 ridiculousness. All right. So this was Aaron Rodgers, David Montgomery, Chase Claypool, and a 22 first. Let me say that again. Aaron Rodgers, David Montgomery, Chase Claypool, and a 22 first for Christian McCaffrey, Dwayne Haskins, and a 23 second.
Yo, all right. This is one of those, I just need to get CMC and I'm going to do whatever it takes. Listen, there are a million different ways to win a fantasy football championship. Okay. It is about maximizing your points at the highest level possible at each position. CMC is one fucking position, people. He is one player. All right, the person that was involved in this trade, what are we thinking with Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. This was a cold offer. There was no negotiation, so I don't know what he wanted Haskins for.
And then a 23-second? You're waiting way for the future. You clearly said, I don't want to I'm not competing anytime any soon.
Well, he's competing this year because he had Christian McCaffrey, and I don't remember what his team looked like, but it must be really damn deep to be able to give away half a starting lineup for Christian McCaffrey. I literally messaged Rocky after seeing this. I'm like, yo, way to get a starting lineup for one player.
Thing. I in this league, I had this was me. I got the Aaron Rodgers, the whole big side, the package side, and I had CMC, Barkley, and Kamara in that league. And Waller, and not much else. I've been trying to move one of them for whatever. And I was getting no deals done, sending offers out. I hadn't even sent anything out in probably like 3 weeks. And then this just shows up in my inbox. I was like, huh, yeah, that works. Yes. And I have no quarterback. I have Watson and I think Locke or something in this league. So and I may still have no quarterbacks.
I was about to say, no, you might have three quarterbacks.
But I think, but I'm pretty, willing to take on some risk at the quarterback position, as we know. So
What was crazy for me is this looks like something that I would do. Like I'm the type of person to where I, once again, going back to, you know, that live draft scenario, like I'm the type of person, I'm turning around to all my league mates. I'm like, who wants CMC? Because I know I'm about to get a haul. You know, we're on the trade addicts. This is a perfect trade move. You don't have to be afraid of this. This plays into your favor because now you can just get so many other pieces in so many other places for little to nothing. Aside from CMC, you lost nothing. You lost one piece here.
Yes.
Yeah. And I got for you for giving you nothing.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
Just
about
sat
it.
There and got a really good deal.
I sat there and hit accept.
All right. Well, I mean, speaking of doing absolutely nothing and getting what I felt like a good deal was done, Trade Addicts 9. This was actually offered to me before last week's show, and I was hoping to get Hockenson in that league, so I didn't do this trade right away. And then the show ended, or I think like I woke up Tuesday morning. I'm like, who am I kidding? I want Calvin Ridley. So this trade, the trade offer I got in was Calvin Ridley for Jalen Waddle and Diontae Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I knew right away, I'm like, yeah, I'll do this for Ridley because I love Ridley and that's fine. But let me just try and get Hockenson in one more league that I'm in with Rocky just so I could rub it in. And then when I found out that wasn't happening, I went and I took this trade. So what do you think about it, Robbie?
Well, I mean, with the Ridley side, you don't have to worry about the drops of Diontae Johnson. I mean, I'm sorry, Diontae Johnson.
Hey, no Diontae Johnson slander on this podcast.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I gotta, you know, measure this from both sides. Jalen Waddle, you're now not worrying about, you know, the going into the season with someone unproven in that maybe in that flex spot. I imagine you'd probably be starting him in a flex.
Yep.
With that being said and stated, Ridley's more secure than focusing on the upside. Although the upside is there with the other two players, I like the security of having Ridley.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm with Robbie. I love Diontae, but Jalen Waddle he could be Corey Davis for all we know. You're waiting 5 years for him. I had to bring it back. or Devontae Parker for that matter on his own team. Or somebody who never even hits, as well as either of those two at any point. So, and Diontae, you know, I love Diontae, but I love Diontae in part because he's not super expensive, and I think you're going to get low-end wide receiver one production for him that you don't have to pay for. But Calvin Ridley, I think, is about to be a monster. I can't remember. Was this made after the Julio trade?
Oh, yeah. Because
we talked about the Julio trade last show.
Okay, yeah. So I like it even more then, actually, because his value went up, and you still got him for this price. Again, Diontae Johnson is great because he's not a super high value. I mean, he's still, I think, in the wide receiver 18 to 20 range in ADP or something like that.
Yeah.
So, and you got a potential wide receiver. I'm going to say it could be the wide receiver one. So
it'll likely be the wide receiver one. The fact that the other person was able to buy in off of upside versus security shows how risky the other player is. And it's just strategic. It's just strategic on the Ridley side.
Oh yeah. I mean, Ryan's crazy. So I appreciate Ryan for everything he does. But like, honestly, I buy Ridley at any given chance. He's been my guy since the beginning. But I'm just going to put this out there. I don't care about drops. It's unless your quarterback is Tom Brady, because Tom Brady will stop throwing you the ball.
Yeah. He'll bench
Ben Roethlisberger. And I mean, like Amari Cooper used to get a whole lot of shit for his drops. We don't really talk about it anymore.
Still do.
All right. Yeah. Well, drop it already. You like what I did there? Cooper is still awesome. The problem with Cooper was like there was so much hype with him coming into the league, and he wasn't the wide receiver one. So there was a lot of hate getting on him. But he's always, except for that one year where he was just like really trash, like he's been really freaking good, and especially with the Cowboys. So I don't care
every week. I cannot take the headache of rostering Cooper.
Well, okay, yes, he disappears for 2 weeks every single season. But, like, I don't care about the drops on Deontay Johnson.
Six.
And with Deontay, for all those drops, he's still got 144 targets in, like, 13 games. So
exactly.
If you get, like, 11, 12 targets a game, you can afford to drop one or two.
That's exactly what it was. He was getting the targets that it didn't matter, and he was still getting the targets, and there's no reason for him to stop getting the targets. I mean, the only person they added to this team was Freiermuth, and that's not going to steal that many targets.
That's not stealing shit. That's not doing any damn thing.
No, exactly. So there's no reason for that offense to change that much. If anything, like, I'm trying to convince myself. They never really. Heath Miller was the last time they had, like, he was like Jason Witten light. But like, I think I'm trying to convince myself that Roethlisberger's elbow will get healthier a year out, even though he's 100 years old and a broken person in general.
Oh, but believe, like, me, I'm trying to do that convincing too. I have like 8 shares of Ben Roethlisberger,
let alone Deontay Johnson. Sure. Yeah. So, like, I, if anything, I don't think he's going to be worse, at least for the first chunk of the season. And you know, Roethlisberger is going to twist an ankle and miss half a game at some point anyway, so he'll get to rest his arm a little bit. Yeah, so
That's why I didn't come in. I didn't even choose that violence right there. I was like, I don't know why y'all are trying to convince yourself with that argument. But I mean, I understand we all got to sleep at night. So I mean,
that's what we exactly. do. We try and make ourselves be able to sleep at night. That's all it's about. That's what this show really is. This is us trying to get each other to agree with ourselves and to make ourselves feel better about the terrible things we do in fantasy football.
And honestly, if Ben's elbow isn't any better, that's just going to mean more and more for Deontay Johnson.
And how screwed will you be when Dwayne Haskins comes in and becomes QB1 and you just traded him away at TA7?
I don't know what I was thinking.
The thing is with Haskins is like he has zero freaking upside.
Oh, yeah, he is not that good.
It'll eventually be referred to as the Haskins deal.
Oh, my God. Bro. I could understand if you had a backup that, like you know, like when Fitzmagic comes into a game and it's like, yo, he'll throw for four. He'll throw four picks. But don't worry, guys. He'll figure out a way to win us this game somehow. Like, I don't know.
Throw four picks. As long as you throw five touchdowns, it's fine.
Exactly. He'll get you the five TDs. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't take Haskins. I'm a Washington football team fan. The thought of him ever getting a starting job in the NFL again, it sickens.
I don't think he will. But let's move on to another Trade Addicts 9 trade. This was Michael Carter and Kenny Golladay for Devin Singletary, Jalen Reagor, and a 23 first. So to me, this is Kenny Golladay for Reagor and a first.
Michael Carter and Kenny Golladay side one, hands down. This is like what was it? When the Atlanta Hawks got rid of Kyle Korver for a broken copier and a bag of chips?
You're talking gibberish to me right now, man. I don't know what any of that means.
Look up wildest sports trades in history. To me, this one stands out. Freaking the Atlanta Hawks, they had a great, I think it was Kyle Korver. They had a great 3-point shooter in Kyle Korver. And they moved him for a broken copy, I think it was like a printer, like a fax machine or something. in the year 2011, like nobody uses a fax anymore, you know. And then like a bag of chips, bro, like some Lay's, not even like barbecue or like just regular bland ass Lay's, bro.
Man, man.
Kyle Korver, originally a 76er, by the way.
Yeah.
Look at that, bridging gaps right there. We're talking other sports, and I don't like it. All right, so here's my thing. I really like Jalen Reagor, and I really like Kenny Golladay, and I realize that Golladay is worth a lot more than Reagor. So to me, Reagor in a first for Golladay does kind of make sense. I think I go with Golladay because we've seen him be really good. Reagor can end up being nothing. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's within the realm of his outcomes. Kenny Golladay is going to be fine. He's going to be in an offense where it is exponentially better than it was last year. I mean, they just picked, you know, drafted Kadarius Toney. So, I mean, I don't think Galladay's ever had a burner on the other side of him to at least take a couple of safeties down the field or something. And I Ugh. And Saquon Barkley's coming back, so that offense is going to be good.
But Daniel Jones can't hang on to the ball.
Daniel Jones did well enough when he had a decent offense, and that's all you need with someone like Kenny Golladay.
Nope, I'm drinking.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he might still turn the ball over, but he can. He did well enough, like you said, throwing the ball when Saquon was healthy mostly the year before. I definitely like the Golladay side as well. I think he's easily worth Rager in a 23 first. I'm not as confident in Rager as you are. Maybe it's just a pessimistic Eagles fan in me. I don't know. I do have some more hope for Devontae, but I mean, that's because he hasn't disappointed me yet. So,
but I think Devontae is good for Rager. I will say this over and over again. Again, yeah. It's probably just me trying to make myself feel better about it, but I really do think that Rager isn't meant to be a number one. So having someone like Devontae Smith across from him will be better for him.
And I kind of agree with that. But that also means he's never going to be a fantasy number one. And I still think that possibility is there for Golladay. At least this year. I don't think it's like definite or even necessarily super likely, but mainly just because of Daniel Jones. But I mean, we've seen it. He's put up, he can get those 50-50 balls. He's a red zone threat. So, and I like Michael Carter more than either of you do. I think, I don't know for sure about Robbie. He is a Jet. I get that. But I liked his talent on film a lot. So, and there's just not much competition there. So,
yep.
I don't think he's going to be an RB1 unless he maybe has like one of those, you know, James White type RB1 seasons. I don't think he's ever going to be an RB1, but he is a guy I like more than Devin Singletary. So that just makes it even more in favor of that side for me.
And that offensive line up there in New York, I know I clowned on the Jets at the beginning of the show. I apologize, Jets fans. No, I don't. I'm kidding. but I mean, you know, with that being said and being stated, I mean, that offensive line has definitely, you know, bulked up. They have tons and tons of first round, you know, top tier draft picks, first, second, third round, top tier draft picks.
Yeah, traded up for a guard this year.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, I just got to go with the upside of the Carter Golladay side. There's just a whole lot of question marks on that Singletary, Rieger, and that 2031st.
It's like all risk.
Yeah, exactly. Like, or Josh Allen is going to vulture Singletary's touches. Your quarterback,
yes,
is your leading rusher.
Yep.
And even if somebody does get some in the rushing game, I think it's going to be Zach Moss more than Devin Singletary anyway.
Yeah, towards the end of last year, it really was turning into Moss over Singletary, but it didn't matter because it was Josh Allen.
Josh Allen over both, yeah.
Vanilla Vic, baby.
I was just going to say.
Oh my, that was I saw that on Twitter, and I literally just went like, that's good. That was a good one. Yeah. I think we have one more, and it was Deontay Johnson for Devontae Smith, two aforementioned players. So, okay, what do you think of that one, Robbie?
Yeah, which makes this like kind of crazy. That's how you know this was some skill on the show sheet, because this is how you close out for a segment right here. Damn it, man. You know, I really like Jalen, but I feel like he's going to be doing a lot of running. You know, this year. So I think I'm going to take the Deontay side just because I talked.
There we go. We pulled him in. We pulled him into the Deontay.
I talked to Rocky long enough. It happens.
I interviewed Deontay. Deontay's a good nice. Kid. Yeah, he's a good kid. Ironically enough, it's funny when I say the Deontay Dropson joke, because I actually spelled his name wrong, like when we did the interview. It was like breakfast in the morning. I didn't have like a good coffee yet. Like, it was the only mistake I made. I wrote Deontay Thompson instead. But yeah.
Oh, at least you didn't write Dropson.
I know. That's what I was saying.
That's what I thought you were saying. I'm like, oh my God. Like, damn. Like, that would have been a really awkward start to the conversation.
I'm not that bad of an analyst. But no. I'm just human. But I think I'm gonna go with what you guys were saying earlier about Big Ben. He's got, at the end of the day, he's still a warrior. And the guy could take the hits with the best of the best of them. He's Big Ben's built like a linebacker, you know. For that, I'm gonna go with the team that has a little bit more heart, and a little bit more experience. They'll have a little bit more longevity for that player to last. So that's gonna be Deontay Johnson.
I totally agree with Robbie there. You knew I was going to say Deontay. I think mm-hmm. he did anyway.
I was just letting you go do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Devontae is the higher upside play. I think he could be, you know, he's the potential to be definitely a wide receiver one in fantasy, I think, if everything goes right. But he's got Hurts this year. I mean, I think he's probably going to be the most targeted wide receiver, but I'm not sure how much that's going to mean in a Jalen Hurts run offense, where I think he's going to be running the ball a lot. And Deontay's, like I said, he's that guy. He's going to be the low valued guy that's going to get you points every year. The Jarvis Landry, the Robert Woods, and he's still only 24 at this point, I think. So it's not like he's that old either. So yeah, give me Deontay.
Yeah, like to break this down in my head, it was just like, all right, well, let's pretend the draft didn't happen yet. Are you trading Deontay Johnson for like the 110, 111? Because that's where Devontae Smith was getting drafted. I'm like, at that point, I'd rather just hold on to Deontay Johnson. We've seen it before. Yeah. We've seen him put up points. And why risk it for someone who could be good?
Exactly. Because I'd rather move Deontay for you know, something that if I like, let's say like we're more in season. This is something that I look at, you know, when we're in season and I'm like, yeah, I won this one. You know, why am I going to go with something unproven when I have something that is proven? And to go with Rocky's point, I still have a youth.
You know, I think, the only reason I think the other side might have been thinking is, like I said, I think like Devontae Smith has the potential to at some point be like the wide receiver five or something like that.
Yeah.
If he blows up, where I don't think Deontay Johnson is ever going to be, even though I love Deontay Johnson, I don't think he's ever going to be considered valued at the wide receiver five. He won't necessarily produce the points of the wide receiver five. So I think that's what the other side was probably thinking, but I still want Deontay.
I'll say for one of the things that when I look at both sides, I think that both guys were looking for flex pieces to break even somehow, and they were both looking for flex pieces. That's what I see in this trade.
Well,
to be fair, in
Trade Addicts leagues, it's start one per position, and then the rest are flex. So almost everybody, almost everyone's a flex. All right, that's the last of the Trade Addicts trade. So we're going to move on to our listener questions. We got quite a few, so we'll see how many we get through. First one, at Jorge Martin 17, what does Robbie want for his big 3-0 birthday?
More YouTube subscribers, and I'll just be straight up and honest. Like, I feel like if I say it, I'm going to get it. I want to get the job, one of the marketing positions at Sleeper.
Nice.
No, like, they follow me on Twitter. Let me see if I can add them and drop a good word.
Oh wow! Like, I appreciate that. Like, no, people have literally been doing that. They're like, no, like you guys should like grab them. I'm like, no, like I appreciate that. You know, I mean, but I'm also very grateful for anyone that does get that position or get any of those positions. But no, I mean that's what I want. I want to go into my 30s with you know, something new, a new adventure. I mean, obviously, like, I'll still be doing Rumbleys and everything, but. You know, just to have something else underneath my belt. Like,
you see, I'm trying to leave my 30s with that. So, you know.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I have this thirst for success. Like, I yearn for it. I care about it a lot. So, I don't know. Like, I'm willing to put in the work.
Thirst to not be bored. Like, I don't really need to be successful. I don't really care about that. I just want to not like want to poke my eyes out all day every day, and that's what my job is.
Yeah.
All right, so we have, oh man, okay, well, Jay Money Jarrett was one of the people to ask about the Jets situation, so we're going to jump over that part. Are either of you going to the Fantasy Football Expo this year in Canton?
Yes, I will be there. And get your tickets for a draft night out. I'm trying to draft with a couple of you guys. We're going to be giving away some autograph memorabilia. I'm giving away raffle tickets. I'm also giving away you know, free kind of backstage, you know, experience to one lucky winner. They get to party with Rumboys Robbie, full experience. So
Oh man,
be ready
with that. So, yeah, I am just at the point where I'm going to start like dropping hints to the wife that I want to go this year. You know, I went 2 years ago, the first year of it, and it seems exponentially bigger, and I am terrified. Like last year, there was like 10, 12 people that, you know, I got to meet J. Mike and Stompy and Chris Allen and Adam Wilde. And it's just like, yeah. Oh yeah, John Hogue, what's up? Oh, cool. That's and Dwight. Hey, that's everybody. Cool. All right. See you next time. And now it's like, I'm going. I'm like, oh my God. I'm turning into that high school kid that's afraid of people. I'm just going to hide in a corner. Oh my God. This is terrible. But I absolutely want to go. It just it's such a good time.
I'm totally that high school kid afraid of people too, Russ.
Yeah. If I go, I'm going to drive and just drive to your house, pick you up, and we'll head out.
Okay, there you go. That might be the one way I can get the wife to go for it. I'll just be like, Russ is taking me. I have to go.
I'm excited to meet like-minded people. Yep.
It really is an awesome experience just to be like, yes, you get it. I'm seeing you in person. Like I can talk like this to another person, like their face, not through a computer screen. It's ridiculous.
Like I went out over the weekend to go, you know, enjoy the fights, you know, trying to enjoy my birthday. And I was like, I don't like people. Like I can't have normal conversations. Like, I mean, immediately, like, so what are you betting on? You know, or do you even play football? Like, do you enjoy fantasy football? Like, and I'm start going into that mode. You know, this is kind of like how I connect with people now. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is my hobby, not just my hobby, but it's also my damn job. Like,
the funniest part of the entire experience was me like going up to you like, hey, I'm Russ. Oh, hey, Russ, nice to meet you. I'm Dynasty Outhouse. Oh, hey, how's it going? Because, like, you know, we know each other by Twitter. Yeah, no, especially 2 years ago, even less people knew my real name as opposed to just calling me Outhouse. But yeah, it's so funny. Like people that you've never seen their face before, no. And you only really know them by their Twitter. It's just so funny. It's an awesome experience. And if anyone listening is thinking about going, you should totally go. And I hope to see every one of you there. And I will let you know now. And I'll warn you, Robbie, I am a hugger. And I haven't been able to hug people in a long time. So it's going to get pretty out there. It's going to be a very huggable experience.
I'm the same way, man. You know, so I'm definitely excited. You know, I was thinking today, I was like, man, I just need August to come. I just need to get away for a weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah, I'm definitely going to the Fantasy Expo, and I'm excited, and I'm excited for more expos to come.
Yes. More and more and more. We need it. Okay, and let's get to back to actual football question. Oh, man, something about Kyle Pitts wanting to be signed as a wide receiver and not a tight end. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, I hadn't seen that.
I haven't seen that, but I keep hearing that. I think that's really just Kyle Pitts truthers saying that. They drafted him as a tight end. I think that he'll play tight end. They need a tight end.
It does. What it comes down to is he was drafted as a tight end. Jimmy Graham tried this for his second contract. I know that was God knows how long ago at this point, but I don't think that's going to happen. If you're going to get paid, you're going to have to get paid that much with the tight end designation. Like, you're going to have to be that damn good and then earn that second contract to get those big numbers. Like, you're going to have to change the money for the position, not the other way, not the position for the money.
I mean, if they want to pay him wide receiver money, fine, but you still need to line him up at tight end because you need it for your scheme.
I was just going to say, the main thing that concerns me about this is he better not be designated a wide receiver for fantasy because he has much more value as a tight end.
His value. Yes. Kill his – unless he gets dual designation, in which case that doesn't really help anyway, because usually it helps when a wide receiver gets the tight end designation, not the other way around.
It's his value. It kills his value in fantasy. I mean, but once again, I mean, you know, from a play calling standpoint, I don't see why receivers are a dime a dozen, even in the real NFL. You know, you go out there and you can find guys, you know, that specialize in that position. I'm not compromising that. I'm not compromising a generational talent. Don't get cute.
And let's talk about that high is because he's this ridiculous specimen for a tight end. If he was the wide receiver, I mean, he would have been rated pretty highly as a wide receiver, but I don't think he would have gone at four as a wide receiver.
And I'm not denying that.
All right, let's talk about some coach speak. Let's talk about Irv Smith not getting his role, not growing in the offense, and Mixon to not get every down running back duties per the coach. When about a month and a half ago, he said, we don't want to take Mixon off of the field. I know.
Which is why you should ignore most coach speak.
but Zach Taylor, especially, like, he's still new to this. Like, he's still, you know, getting the hang of the head coach thing. So, like, he's kind of one of those coaches. Like, I'm still allowing him time to get his sea legs underneath him.
I mean, like, Bruce Arians has been in this league for 80 years, and you still can't trust a word that comes out of that dude's mouth.
But you know that that's his thing, though. You know that that's his thing. And I think he does that, you know, to also throw his competition off as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's why you don't tell the press exactly everything. But like, Bruce Arians, I think, straight up lies completely on purpose, for the fun of it.
Oh yeah. Whereas, you know, with a coach like Zach Taylor, I don't think he knows what the hell he's doing. A lot like Anthony Lynn, where it's like, bro, like you know what you're doing. You're a smart football mind, but when you put it all together, it does not work the way that you want. You know, and I think that he's just figuring out a lot as a young head coach himself. Now, in regards to, you know, Swerve and Irvin, I think that this offense can support Irvin having a growing role. I do believe that this is just coach speak. So, to be determined on that one. This offense could support just purely Thielen and Jefferson and a little bit of Irvin here and there. But I think that with Kyle Rudolph gone, it's like, obviously you need to go to this guy.
Yeah. Like, even if you just clearly you can't say, hey, take what they gave Kyle Rudolph and give it to Irv Smith, because that's not how the world works. But let's just, I mean, combine a little bit of what the tight end position got. And that makes Irv Smith pretty good again in that situation where Rocky doesn't care about them because he's going to be the tight end 8-15. And who cares at that point, because it's just a mess. But I do think in a league that is at least 10 teams, 12 teams for sure, and with a tight end premium, you're going to be starting Irv Smith every week. I think that's all that we really need to say, like, because I think that's all that matters.
I think that Irv Smith is the perfect definition of a sleeper. Definition of a sleeper, and I'm willing to accept that.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So we need to get to this because I feel like it's very important to talk about. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're a Disney guy, Robbie, but I absolutely am. And at the Jake Earl asks, where does Raya rank among badass Disney princesses, and why is it number one?
Yeah. This is all you, because I barely know who Raya is. So,
isn't she from Moana?
Raya and the Last Dragon. It just came out in May.
Oh no, so I haven't seen that one yet. So I can't.
First of all, watch it. It's freaking awesome.
I will.
But okay. Now I want to say yes. I want to say Raya is number one because that movie is freaking great. It's a very, very good movie. My daughter freaking loves it. My daughter jumps around pretending to fight and all of that stuff while watching this movie. And she just, you know, I love movies with powerful women because my daughter needs that.
That's why I like Mulan.
But I got it. Mulan literally murdered thousands of people. Like, she avalanched a mountain on an army. I mean, she at the time did something by dressing up as a man and joining the army, did something that was punishable by death.
Yeah.
And got caught and got that, you know. So happened to have saved that man's life to where he spared her. Like, the answer is Mulan, and it's honestly not close. But I want the answer to be Raya because that movie is just so damn good.
Damn, he's right.
Yeah. And let's ignore the real story of Mulan. I think where she ended up being, you know, she ended up really actually getting in trouble and forced to be one of the Emperor's concubines as opposed to going home and being celebrated. That's, man. If you want to just really have your mind destroyed, read the real ending to all of the Disney movies.
It will
make you
cry. Don't do it.
I unfortunately know just about all of them. You don't. It is terrible. Though I guess I just ruined Mulan for anyone who didn't know that before. But absolutely, if anyone, you two, and if anyone else listening has not seen Raya and the Last Dragon, absolutely go watch it. It is really damn good. And, you know, someone asked me a Disney question, so I couldn't pass on it.
I'm with that. No, I like that. I like breaking up the monotony. Some people are like, all you are is a fantasy analyst? No, I like other things. Like
Russ is definitely also a Disney analyst.
Russ is absolutely also. I mean, I love the stupid questions. I love the non-fantasy football questions. Bro, because to me, this half. The worst thing a fantasy football show could be to me is boring. And I'd like to say I am many things, but I am not boring.
Bro, I am a chicken connoisseur, bro. Like, I just love chicken wings. Like, I just love hot wings. Like, it's an addiction. Like, I think I might have a fetish.
Good for you, man. We don't kink shame on this show. So
I also love
wings. I'm not going to lie. And if you are lazy and don't have a fryer in your house, if you've air fryers are wonderful.
Bro. All right. I call this the Robbie Hood Rich meal.
All right. So, I might have to write this down.
So it's simple. Buffalo wings and some cheap champagne. And you just feel like. It is so good, and it just goes so well together. But you have to drink the champagne from the bottle. Like you can't put
no, because I'm seriously picturing a hand completely covered in buffalo sauce holding a champagne flute, just your face completely covered, you're just going pinky out and everything.
I got the bottle and I'm just straight just and I used to go like order like 12, and they got like decent healthy size wings, but yeah, like I'll on days where like I'm like, all right, I usually do this like right before the football season starts, because like you guys will notice once I'm in football, like once the season starts, my bookie's completely closed, Run Boys are like, our network is running 7 days out of the week, you know, we're full-time at that point. And usually what I do, this is my little therapy session before the season starts, I go buy me a cheap bottle of Andre's for like, you know, $8-$12 at the liquor store on chill, and I'll fucking order some hot wings from my favorite wing spot, and I just watch film.
That is a hell of a ritual, and I want to let you know I appreciate that. That is, I love it. Hey, man.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed. Like,
what are you embarrassed about? I'm being completely serious when I say it.
It's great.
Fantastic.
Bro, hey, the first time people found out about that, they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm giving you good fantasy analytics. Just watch. Just watch how this process ends.
This is my process, baby. All right, let's go to, you know what? We're going to go to a question from at Dynasty Outhouse. What does all of this Aaron Rodgers garbage do to Aaron Jones's value?
So first, Dynasty Outhouse is an amazing person. Second, to Aaron Jones's value, like, what's the easiest way that you can help a rookie? I give them their best friend in the running back. You're going to make things short, simple, sweet. I think it helps Aaron Jones' value.
I don't know if it helps for sure, but I'm kind of with Robbie that it's maybe not a total wash, but because I think he will, you know, the touchdown potential, I think, declines, which he lived off touchdowns. Yeah, off the last couple of years. But I do think that if I don't think Rodgers is leaving personally, but if he were to retire or get traded, I agree. I think they're going to run the ball a lot more. I've always thought since they re-signed him that he's going to be a big part of the passing game, regardless of who the quarterback is. With Jamal Williams gone, more targets are going to go to him. So he's going to fall in touchdowns for sure if Aaron Rodgers is gone, just because the offense won't be as good. But I think overall, fantasy wise, it's going to be close to a wash, where he maybe drops a couple spots, but he can still be an RB1, I think, with Jordan Love.
I'm just confused where this narrative has recently came up that, like, we don't like running backs with rookie or new quarterback. Like, I don't know where that came up. Like, usually that's always been like, oh, let me run and go get that. Hurry up.
No, I think this is just the downgrading quarterback is why.
That's really what it is to me. It's not that it's a new quarterback. It's that it was Aaron frickin' Rodgers. Like, it was the running back with Aaron frickin' Rodgers, and now it's the running back with Jordan Love. And at least it didn't matter that Green Bay had one wide receiver worth defending, because you still needed to respect everyone else, because Aaron Rodgers can get that ball anywhere the hell he wanted to. Now you can probably leave a lot more dudes in the box than you could against Jordan Love. Well, you can against Jordan Love than you could have against Rodgers. So maybe it is a little harder for Aaron Jones to run the ball. But I do think Rocky makes a good point where he may get more catches now that his secondary running back is A.J. Dillon. Like, Jamal Williams, was he a better pass catcher? They were at least equally as good.
He was definitely better than A.J. Dillon.
No, than Aaron Jones. Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. No, he was definitely better than A.J. Dillon. Like, the two of them were good enough that you would put Jamal Williams in for a couple of passing downs just to get Jones some rest. But yeah, I feel like you're not going to do that with A.J. Dillon. You're not going to put him in on passing downs. So, like, it's I've been battling with this. And this really came up because I got a trade offer for me to acquire Aaron Jones. And I'm just like, all right, well, the trade was ridiculous in the first place. But yeah, like, I started thinking about what it would take for me to really do this trade and go out and seek to trade for Aaron Jones. And I had to really be careful to say the right Aaron. And it's, I think I'm about to side with Rocky, even though we're not really arguing or anything, but like, I think I agree with Rocky in a bit where he's probably going to drop a spot or two, but I don't think we're writing him out of the top 12. I almost said RB1, and I want to make it think it's the, like, he, I still think we'll finish around 8-ish, 8 to 10, yeah, and that's still pretty damn good.
I've been fortunate. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, you're more important than Rocky is, so you go.
Far more important. I've been getting pretty fortunate in a couple of redraft formats to where I can get Henry and Aaron Jones. So I could go Derrick Henry first in the first round and Aaron Jones on the turnaround. So, I mean, I'm just saying, if I can get a guy that'll still in it as an RB12, you know, in the second round, you know, if I'm an RB heavy strategist, like many people are out there, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. And what I agree with you. And what I was just going to say is that I do think the question, I think we were all kind of more talking in the production range where the question did say about value that this guy Dynasty Outhouse asked. And and so I do think there is a decent chance that he legit got traded. I think we would see a dip in Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Jones's value.
See, it's tough, man. Like, you have to stop and think about which Aaron you're talking about.
Aaron Jones's value. And if he falls to the point where he's being drafted even lower than I'm not sure where he's at, but he's definitely not in the RB1 range. So if he falls even lower than what he's already at, he would be a definite buy. Cause I think we all basically agreed that he's probably still going to produce as a low end RB1 at worst, even with Jordan Love. And I think people would go nuts because we're super reactive in the dynasty community and people would not want to buy Aaron Jones anymore. So that would be the play if Aaron Rodgers did leave.
Hey, Dynasty, I'm still buying, or I'm still willing to trade for Aaron Jones for the right price. So, you know,
maybe I'll have to go back and find out what that right price is, which I guess we couldn't. We'll have something for next show, right? So I don't have to start begging people on Monday afternoon.
There you go.
All right, let's go to, okay, Jeremy Ness at Nesticle, because that is a fantastic Twitter handle.
That is fucking it awesome.
What is Raheem Mostert's trade value?
Second, gosh. Like
mid second, probably late second is probably mid, all late, you have to give
late,
up.
I think late. Probably late at this I'll point with the Trey Sermon hype. Yeah,
like, if a real life NFL GM isn't trying to get a load for him, I'm not about to try and get a load for him.
But like, and I still think he's not first anymore. But like, if our drafts are done, like, let's just, you know, let's assume your 2021 draft is done. Like, would you throw a second for Raheem Mostert? Like, let's pretend it's August and we're trying to set a lineup and you're me and all you have is Mike Davis, but you have your 22 second. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to win this league. And so it's going to be the 212. Would you send the 22 late second? What you think is going to be a late second for Raheem Mostert?
I could go low end. I could go low, a late second.
Yeah, I think if you assume your second's going to be late, that I have no problem with that. I still think he could be, if he stays healthy, which is always a big if, he could be the running back that produces the most points in that offense, which they're going to keep mixing and matching anyway. But if you're going to start one, I think he's the one that start most weeks.
Yeah, he and Sermon are very different running backs, so I don't think they're going to eat into each other. I think that they're going to be the main part of that like eight-way of committee. So I do still think that Raheem Mostert is a nice buy at that point. But let's put this the other way around. If you have Raheem Mostert, would you accept a random 22-second for him in a trade?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, depending on roster build, but yes. So, yeah, he's one of those guys that actually I think makes sense. A lot of times we say we'll only buy for, you know, lower than what we'll sell for, but I think he actually kind of, I think most people would sell for a second, and most people, not many, not most, but a lot of people would buy for a second if they're contending anyway.
All right, and he finishes this with the trade value for the top few picks in a 1QB rookie draft. So 101, 102, 103. So what are you pretty much willing to trade Chase, Harris, or I guess, are we saying Kyle Pitts? Because that's what the rest of the world thinks, even though I still will never really get behind that. Like, what would you guys think would be a fair trade to try and get those picks?
In a 1QB league?
In a 1QB dynasty league.
That's tough.
I need to get running backs in return for those. That's also just how I work. I'm willing to score points in other places, even if it is tight end premium. Like I'm willing to score points in other places to make up for that lack thereof. Shit.
All right. So I pulled up. There is already June DLF ADP. Najee Harris is 21st at RB 13, and he is the first rookie here. So it goes. Wow. Okay.
I'd take Najee.
Over what? He is the 101. So like, what? All right. So we have to. Okay. I need to talk about this ADP for a second. It's kind of hurting my brain. Where am I going to start? Okay. At 16, Antonio Gibson, Travis Kelce, Austin Eckler, CeeDee Lamb, Ezekiel Elliott at 20.
Wait, who is trading Austin Eckler for? Who's trading CeeDee Lamb for Austin Eckler?
I love Austin Eckler, but
whose ADP is this?
This is DLF. Okay, no, something absolutely went wrong, because it looked like Austin Eckler went 6th and 7th in two of the drafts.
Oh, my God.
So something absolutely went wrong, because that we're going to ignore that. Okay, so this hurts my brain a little less. But, like, if you're telling me I can get Zeke for Najee, I'm absolutely doing that.
Yeah,
for Najee. After Najee is J.K. Dobbins, Calvin Ridley, Kamara. Joe Mixon. Well, yeah, Kamara is 5th overall.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are the guys around, and I think trade wise, that's all pretty. Yeah, I would love Nick Chubb. I've been trying to buy him a lot lately.
Ridley's a couple of spots below Harris. I would take Ridley over
two spots. Harris. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Jamar Chase is 30th overall. Let's go up a little bit. George Kittle, DeAndre Hopkins, Patrick Mahomes, Miles Sanders, Travis Etienne. Wow, Travis Etienne is. Chase, Sanders, Etienne, Pitts, Javonte Williams, Terry McLaurin, Michael Thomas, wow, Josh Jacobs. A lot of rookies right there. That's kind of crazy. To me, I would take Josh. I don't know about Josh Jacobs. I'd take Terry McLaurin over ETN, I think. Yeah, but I would rather have Jamar Chase.
I would too.
And Javonte Williams, like, honestly, I feel like there's more of a drop between Pitts and Javonte Williams. Like, I would take Terry McLaurin, Michael Thomas, Josh Jacobs, DJ Moore, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There's a lot. Darren Waller, Allen Robinson. I mean, I wouldn't take a quarterback, Josh Allen. But here we hit Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper. That's where I would start talking about it.
Yeah. The second part of his question, he has too many options. He needs to narrow it down.
Yeah, I was just trying to give them an idea about each of these players, about where they are and like what you can get. They're very clumped together in ADP, but I don't think the value of those picks are that clumped together. So hopefully going through that helped you out a little bit.
I also think Pitts is the most valuable of the three in tight end premium, but DLF, I think,
doesn't.
Yeah,
well, it is now in the trade analyzer, but it is not in the ADP.
In the mocks, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's move. Whatever. What? How long have we been going? Not nearly long enough. Let's do the last two questions. At Nigel Shemansky, his first question: Lions wide receivers are basically free. What one would you go after? Someone has to catch the ball, right?
Miranda Saint Brown scoring touchdowns a la Detroit. Yeah, sorry. That's why I'm on Raw. St. Brown.
He's the Lion King. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I have that one. And I also have Amon Ra Ra Ra. Amon Ra Ra Ra.
Oh, be in my head for days. Oh, no. Oh.
Scoring touchdowns.
Oh, I am broken. Why did I ask this question?
Amon St. Brown on my fantasy team.
Oh, my God.
Ra Ra.
All right, so I'm going to change answers, and I'm just going to say I've been buying so much Quintez Cephas that I still want him to be the answer, but I do I do like Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I bet you just sung it to yourself right when you just
No,
said
I'm not. I'm actively trying not to.
Right, hey, there's going to be me. So on Rumboys, we do a NFL Rum Zone, which is like my 7 hours of like being Scott Hansen. And yeah, that like when Amon-Ra scores a touchdown, you're just going to see me on a screen. I might have the joint and everything. I might have like the headdress and everything. It's going to be great. It's going to be hilarious.
The correct answer is none of them and go get Hawkins Swift. Yeah.
Not when it's also, that fun. Not when it's that fun to say, all right. Hawkinson. I love Hawkinson too.
Amon-Ra is probably the best for Dynasty. I wouldn't be shocked if the Gazelle is the highest point scorer of the receivers.
Throw the Gazelle, baby. He's coming back.
Oh, my gosh. The Gazelle?
Go get him for a fourth. Or on your waiver wire.
All right. And we kind of answered his next question is how much do you buy into coach speak at this point? And the answer is not really. I choose to believe it when it already confirms the narrative I believe.
It depends who. I also think it's a little more concerning
when it's negative. Like the positive stuff, I just completely disregard almost entirely because there's no reason not to say positive stuff.
I trust players at this point more than I would. Like if a player comes out and says something, especially if that's negative about another player, that you believe a little more than all this coach speak that's going on. But
you can trust a player's Instagram feed more than you can trust a coach.
Yeah.
Oh man, Instagram, like cryptic wide receiver tweets are just the best part of Twitter and the best part of fantasy football.
who was it that made all their characters all weird, made their letters all weird? Or it was like, I think it was like Cam Newton.
Yeah. He does that on Instagram and I hate it. Like it bothers me more that I could read it without having to try, but it is just obnoxious that he took the time to go do that.
And before he went to the Bills, didn't Diggs put out like 15 different cryptic tweets about where he was, what was going to happen.
He's easily one of the worst at that. He does it so much, and I love him for it. It is like that's my version of watching reality TV. That's my trashy stuff that I just love. That little cattiness that the wide receivers throw out there
are just our filth that we get to enjoy as fantasy. I tell people all the time, they're like, why do you enjoy the NFL so much? It's like our soap opera.
100%. It's like, you know, people that talk about wrestling like being men's soap opera for men because they fight each other and everything. But like, no, football, because there's real sport. Well, I don't want to call wrestling not real sport because the stuff those guys do is freaking ridiculous. And yes, they absolutely get hurt when they do it. But in the end, it's still scripted. Yeah. But like, this is like unscripted sports. And then Michael Thomas searching his name on Twitter to yell at people that say that he's not good. Like that's just freaking wonderful. Like I love Michael Thomas for that stuff. Like, cause I get it to bring your body and your talent level to that level, you need to have that in your brain. You have to believe you're the best. My brain doesn't work like that. So I think it's hilarious when it goes that way.
My brain does not understand it.
I am not competitive at all. So when like someone like, why would you argue with that? And then they're like, well, dude, that's his craft. That's his job. And they're talking about it. And I'm like, yo, you can tell me my invoices suck. I just don't give a damn. And yes, I understand there's a difference between the NFL and my accounts receivable supervisor position, but still, like, that's the best I could do is draw that comparison.
No, I get it, bro. I get it. I am the type of person, like, I don't know if you guys saw The Last Dance. I am Tom Brady, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, like all wrapped in one.
That like, sounds exhausting, man. I got to be honest.
Bro, I do not. I take it personal. So it's like, oh, I hate the way that you do content. Oh, well, now I'm about to even do it. Dude, the way that I do content, even better. I'm about to do even more right in front of your Oh, bro, I am that person. I internalize. I look for things to take personal so that I can build something in my head that's like, nope, now I have to outwork other people. Like, I'm not saying.
None of us are, but I'm glad you found what works for you, man, because that does not compute in my brain.
It does.
That's all that matters, right? Let's get this last question in at @noobengineer_. I just had a dreaded same position trade, Barkley and Etienne for Dobbins and Chubb, half point PPR. Would you have done this risky trade? How do you feel about Barkley this year?
So first off, shout out new noob. If you get the reference, a little Rick and Morty reference, shout out to you, new noob. And let's see, Barkley and ETN for Dobbins and Chubb. Damn, why do I like that Dobbins and Chubb side? Like I just feel like, and I feel like the Barkley, the person that rosters Barkley, could have gotten away with just moving Barkley. And I mean, halfway PPR. I would have done it. I personally would have still done it. I mean, but Dobbins and Chubb side ran away the second picture that is ETN and not something of better value.
Yeah, I'm with Robbie. Especially the ETN part is not. I'm much lower in ETN than a lot of people, and also the half point PPR makes it a lot easier to go with Dobbins and Chubb for me because the biggest concern with both of them is their reception totals for both of them, and part of the biggest thing in the other two guys' favors is their reception totals. So I like Dobbins and Chubb's side in this. And I like I think Barkley is going to have a very good year as long as he can stay healthy. I think we're going to see prime Barkley again. But I've gone on record saying I think James Robinson is going to outscore ETN. So and that's in PPR. So so I definitely want the Dobbins and Chubb's side, even though I love Barkley.
And on top of that, I mean, two players that are going to be fairly effective and more effective in their roles, which means more point totals, more point totals and more consistent point totals. That's going to work out better for you than just the guy that is walking away with pretty much just Barkley here. They're going to be frustrated with ETNs. They may not with those two combined for RB1 and RB2 purposes, they may not be, you know, they may not be scoring as much as the Chubb Dobbins, and they may not be scoring as much on a consistent basis.
And those other two, Dobbins and Chubb, I think too, they are both on not only run heavy teams, but teams that I think plan to use a run heavy game script even in closer games. So I mean, and they're also going to be in positive games, which is what I meant to say, where they're going to be running more anyway. So. I think we both expect them to be winning teams, which is beneficial for the running back, and they want to run even if it's not if they're not up a big. So they want to run more than most teams.
Yep, and both teams have effective offensive lines.
Yes.
Big boys up front for both those guys. Yeah, this is one of those trades where for you new noob, you should really just be looking at all the ins and outs, and any piece of positivity is really what just sways it one way or another.
The only thing I can say is there is a very good chance that even in half point PPR, Saquon's going to be a top three running back, like in my head, like production wise this year. And I don't see why for the next year or two. Yeah. Etienne, I know he's not going to be great this year. I honestly feel that's a given. Like something weird is going to happen for Etienne to be great. But in my mind, I'm going to try and move Etienne before the end of this, before the season even starts. If that's the case, if I can package Etienne with another something and turn that into, man, if you take Etienne and the value, the same, a player of the same exact value, which is probably honestly what would have made this trade completely fair, and you get another guy with, I think, higher upside than the two, than Chubb and Dobbins has, then I think you will feel like you won this because you got the pieces to get you where you want to go. I know I just pulled myself in a couple of circles to get me there, but I feel happy having, if the problem is I love Chubb. So I do think he's freaking awesome, but I love having Barkley on my team. So having that feeling and then just having to do one more step to get another awesome, solid player in there. Or if you just believe in ETN, more power to you, man. Then you go do that. You make that call. You make this trade because chances are you think ETN's on the level of Dobbins, in which case you won this trade in your mind. And that's all that really matters, as long as you're happy. And if that's the case, if you think those two bottom players are the same, Barkley's worth more than Chubb. And again, you win. So a lot of it goes into this. Man, four of the same position in one trade. This like hurts my soul. And especially because they're running backs, no less. But like, yes, I agree with everything you guys said. And in the end, I really do kind of agree with you. But I can't get past that fact that I love Barkley and the fact that I can see a world in a very likely possibility where he is the running back one next year. And that's worth a lot.
It comes down to, for me, just you know, the stability of the other side, and you know, once again, both having very stable offensive lines,
definitely.
If and also, I'm gonna be that person, and people are gonna hate it. I question how stable Barkley will be. I'm staying away from Barkley. I am not rostering Barkley at all. Period. You know, in any leagues. With that being said, I want him to prove to me. I like for players to come and prove or like to prove that, like, you know, yo, Robbie, you went on air and said that I wasn't going to bounce back, and now I bounce back. Barkley, I think that you can do it, but I do have my concerns, and that's why I'm proceeding with caution.
Yeah, that's the smart thing to do. Let's call that what it is, but, you know, why do smart things when you could do fun things?
I think you made a great point. This guy should go trade ETN for something else, and maybe even if he has to package him, I think that's the move here.
At least something that's going to give him stability.
Yeah, go flip that for a solid wide receiver too.
Miles Gaskin is probably in that range, right? Is he?
Miles Gaskin's worth a lot less than ETN.
Oh yeah, a lot less, but he'll probably outproduce ETN. If you're looking at
this year, but then get replaced next year. So go get yourself Allen Robinson and Miles Gaskin for Travis Etienne.
Yeah.
I just love Allen Robinson. that's why he came to mind right away. All right. Well, man, that is the end of our show season. That is going to be the end of our show because I am starting to fall asleep. But Robbie, thank you for coming on. It's been awesome. Thank you for choosing to spend your birthday, your big 3-0 birthday with us.
Yeah.
And before we do head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, where they could find what you do, and why they should go and download SportsMe right now?
Go download the SportsMe app. 30-second quick click interactive content in the palm of your hand, available on both iOS and Android. Like I said, guys, it's like having First Take in the palm of your hand. Definitely get in there. You can interact with anyone and everyone. You're going to start seeing a lot of pretty dominant faces in the industry or faces that have been around for a long time in there. If you guys have ever called into a radio station and you know they hang up on you because maybe you know you speak your mind a little too explicitly, or you know whatever the case, you run out of time saying your take, get on the SportsMe app. You're able to converse with people back and forth. But other than that, runboys.com, and check out my YouTube channel, Runboys. Just search me one word.
And it's his birthday, go subscribe. Come on. Seriously.
Yeah.
Do it for the birthday, if nothing else.
For nothing else. And then you'll find out how awesome his channel is.
And a lot of great content along with it.
There you go.
Oh, I'm gonna win y'all some money this year. Last year I helped people a lot. This year I'm excited. You know, audience has grown a little bit during the off season. I'm excited to help new people. Let's go. The world is back to normal.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready for back to normal, except for going back to work. I don't want to go back to work, but we're not going to get started on that conversation right now. We are going to get talking about patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, where you can watch us live stream as we go, get a little bit of that before show talk where we end up saying, well, you know, before we started recording, we said this. You could just hear that in the first place, you know, get to be a part of it. Be in the chat as we go. Be a member of the Cool Kids Club, our awesome chat on GroupMe. All of that cool stuff. And more. What's the more? I honestly don't know right now, but I'm sure we'll do something eventually, right? Like, we got to keep trying, right? Eventually.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, sure. FFpodshirts.storeenvy.com. You can... I'm wearing a Dynasty Dummy shirt. That doesn't work. You can get t-shirts, mugs, stickers from all of your favorite lazy podcasts because they didn't want to create their own store, so I did their stuff for them. Anybody on the DAP network, us, Junkies, Timeline, Get Real, but then there's, man, what else do I do? Man, I have to write this stuff down. Superflex Super Show, FF Intervention, Dynasty Vipers, I do a bunch of their stuff. Dynasty Game Night, right? Because we host that now, Rocky. You know, congratulations. Yep. Oh, yeah, I have to actually create that drop, even though not the point. But the cool thing about all of that is every single penny that comes in goes to charity. We keep absolutely zero. Everything goes straight to charity. Every other month, Rocky and I switch off. We pick charities. For the rest of June, every penny will be donated to the Brain Aneurysm
Foundation.
Foundation. I always want to say association just because there's already an A in there. Yes. So Brain Aneurysm Foundation, every single penny. Plus you get awesome stuff. Like, seriously, why not walk around with a Trade Addicts t-shirt knowing you helped someone's brain by getting their money donated to the Brain Aneurysm Foundation?
Yeah.
Right? That worked out so well.
And then the shirt even has a brain on it.
Yeah, exactly. So, wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm your host, Russ, at Dynasty Outhouse. He is Rocky at Dynasty FF Addict. Rate, review, subscribe, all of that stuff. Us, the show itself, Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, DLF Family of Podcasts. Good night, guys. I'm done. I got nothing left. I can't form words anymore.
Thanks.
Good night, Russ.